Exodus 13, we're going to start in verse 3. Moses said to the people, "This is the day to remember forever, forever. The day you left Egypt, the place of your slavery. Today the Lord brought you out by the power of his mighty hand. Remember, eat no food containing yeast. On this day, in early spring, in the month of Abib, you have been set free. You must celebrate this event in this month each year after the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Hivites, Jebusites. He swore to your ancestors that he would give you this land, a land flowing with milk and honey." Then we'll skip down to verse 17. When Pharaoh finally decided to let the people go, God did not lead them along the main road that runs through the Philistine territory, even though that was the shortest route to the promised land. God said, if the people were faced with a battle, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led them in a roundabout. Turn to your neighbor and say, that's about the roundabout this morning. The roundabout way through the wilderness toward the Red Sea. Thus the Israelites left Egypt like an army ready for battle. Skip to verse 21. The Lord went ahead of them. He guided them during the day with a pillar of cloud, and he provided light at night with a pillar of fire. This allowed them to travel by day or by night. And the Lord did not remove the pillar of cloud or the pillar of fire from its place in front of the people. Skip down to Exodus 14, starting verse 1. Then the Lord gave these instructions to Moses. Order the Israelites to turn back and camp by Phi Haroth, between Migdol and the sea. Camp there along the shore, across from Baal Zephon. Then Pharaoh will think, the Israelites are confused, they're trapped in the wilderness. And once again, I will harden Pharaoh's heart. He will chase after you. I planned this in order to display my glory through Pharaoh and his whole army. After this, the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. The Israelites camped there as they were told. Verse 5. Chapter 14, verse 5. When word reached the king of Egypt that the Israelites had fled, Pharaoh and his officials changed their minds. What have we done? Letting all the Israelite slaves get away, they asked. Pharaoh harnessed his chariot and called his troops. He took with him 600 of Egypt's best chariots, along with the rest of the chariots of Egypt, with each commander. Verse 10. As Pharaoh approached, the people of Israel looked up, and they panicked when they saw the Egyptians overtaking them. They cried out to the Lord, and they said to Moses, "Why did you bring us out here to die in the wilderness? Weren't there enough graves for us in Egypt? What have you done to us? Why did you make us leave Egypt? Didn't we tell you this would happen while we were still in Egypt? We said, leave us alone. Leave us alone. Let us be slaves to the Egyptians. It's better to be a slave in Egypt than a corpse in the wilderness." Verse 13. But Moses told the people, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Stand still. Watch the Lord rescue you today. The Egyptians you see today will never be seen again. For the Lord himself will fight for you. Stay calm." Verse 15. The Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the people to get moving. Pick up your staff, raise your hand over the sea, divide the water so the Israelites can walk through the middle of the sea on dry ground, and I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they will charge in after the Israelites. My great glory will be displayed through Pharaoh and his troops, his chariots, and his charioteers. When my glory is displayed to them, all of Egypt will see my glory and know that I am the Lord." Verse 19. The angel of God, who had been leading the people of Israel, moved to the rear of the camp. The pillar of cloud also moved from the front and stood behind them. The cloud settled between the Egyptian and Israelite camps. Darkness fell. The cloud turned to fire, lighting up the night. But the Egyptians and Israelites did not approach each other all night. Then Moses raised his hand over the sea, and the Lord opened up a path through the water with a strong east wind. The wind blew all that night, turning the seabed into dry land. People of Israel walked through the middle of the sea on dry ground with walls of water on each side. Verse 23. Egyptians, all of Pharaoh's horses, chariots, charioteers, chased them in the middle of the sea. But just before dawn, the Lord looked down on the Egyptian army from the pillar of fire and the cloud. He threw their forces into total confusion. He twisted their chariot wheels, making their chariots difficult to drive. Let's get out of here, away from these Israelites, the Egyptians shouted. The Lord is fighting for them against Egypt. When all the Israelites had reached the other side, the Lord said to Moses, raise your hand over the sea again, and then the waters will rush back and cover the Egyptians and their chariots and the charioteers. Verse 27. As the sun began to rise, Moses raised his hand over the sea, and the water rushed back into its usual place. The Egyptians tried to escape, but the Lord swept them into the sea. Then the waters returned and covered all the chariots and the charioteers, the entire army of Pharaoh, all of the Egyptians who had chased the Israelites into the sea. Not a single one survived. Not a single one survived. But the people of Israel had walked through the middle of the sea on dry ground, as the water stood up like a wall on both sides. Last two verses. That is how the Lord rescued Israel from the hand of the Egyptians that day. And the Israelites saw the bodies of the Egyptians washed up on the shore. When the people of Israel saw the mighty power that the Lord had unleashed against the Egyptians, they were filled with awe before him. They put their faith in the Lord and in the servant Moses. And so this morning, as we start to paint the text we just went through, we started with the verse, and it says, I want you, as God is speaking to Moses and the people, he says, I want you to remember forever. Remember forever. How many of us have learned in life that there are moments that we want to remember forever, right? There are things, there's situations, there's peoples, there's wedding days, there's having babies and grandkids. There's so many great things that we want to remember forever. And then on the other side of the coin, how many of us know there are situations, people, situations we want to forget forever as well? Forget. In life, we learn, it's really about these two things. It's learning to remember, and it's learning to forget. God was saying to Moses, I want you to remember this day, the day that I set you free from slavery. This is a good day. This is the day that the Jewish people finally get free. They spent over 400 years being slaves. They spent over 400 years being captive to the Egyptians. And so on this day when they were freed, it was a good day. It was a really good day. And God says, now on, every single year, like Christmas, like Easter, like July 4th, I want you to remember. I want you to celebrate. I want you to talk about it. I want the adults to talk about it. I want the adults to talk about it so that the kids ask questions. What are you doing? What are you celebrating? God says, I want you to remember forever. The definition of remember means to be able to bring into one's mind an awareness of someone or something seen or known or experienced. How many of us have seen in our own human tendency sometimes it's easy to forget? And yes, there are things that we want to forget. Some of us have a short-term memory, long-term memory. We're better at remembering things from 25 years ago. But what happened 5 minutes? Who knows? It's gone. It's like dust in the wind, right? Some of us are really good. Maybe some of us have the ability for both, my long-term and my short-term. Great. I have a photogenic memory. My mind is so powerful. But sometimes there are certain things when it comes to being a Christian we tend to forget. God was saying, and he was speaking to them, remember the day I freed you. And as a Christian, how many of us can remember a day when God did something for us? Where you felt like, man, I just felt like God was watching me. I felt like God had my back in that situation. And it's like we tell ourselves, God, thank you, thank you, thank you. And then a week goes by, and where we were saying thank you to God every day, now it's once a week, and then maybe every month. Then it just becomes a slow, distant memory. Spiritually, sometimes it's really easy to forget what God said, what God's done, what God is gonna do. And the problem with that, sometimes with forgetting spiritually what God does for us, what does it do? It leaves our mind to wonder. How many of us know that sometimes boredom can be an enemy? That when we become bored, sometimes, how many of us know, repetition can become boring. I don't want to hear the same thing over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. I don't want to see the same thing over and over and over and over and over again. I don't want to hear the same dad jokes and dad complaints every day over and over and over and over again. But it's something, for whatever reason, our brain, it needs to hear the things of God, what? Over and over and over and over again. And if you don't hear the things of God over and over and over again, you know what happens? We forget. Why did God say in the beginning, you need to remember? Why did God say, set up a pillar? Remember where I spoke to you. Why did God say, write these things down so that you have them for generation to generation? Why did God set up celebrations and festivals so that every single year there's singing, there's dancing, and there's remembering? Yes, I'm sure there's a group of people who got tired of saying, do we have to remember it all over again? Here goes Dad. He's going to stand up and he's going to recount the whole story. Here we go again, right? Here we go again. Here we go again. Here we are at church again. John's going to say the same thing over and over again, right? If we don't continue to remind and to remember, it's a guaranteed fact. We will forget. Reminding ourselves what God has done. God rescued them from slavery. And I'm guaranteeing you this morning, God has rescued you from something or someone. There's a lot of whack jobs in the world, right? There's a lot of weird girls, weird guys, and some of us in here, God has spared us from wackos, right? That's a good one right there. God, there's so many different things God has spared you, me, from. And it's important to remember that, just as God said to them, I want you to remember forever. We have to get up and remind ourselves spiritually, this is what God did for me. This is what God's doing for me. This is what God's gonna do for me. We ask ourselves, well, how do I remember? Real simply. Most of us in here enjoy music. You turn on music that helps you remember. You turn on music that helps you remember. Now, let's be honest. There's songs from the 50s, 60s, 70s. What does that help us remember? The past. You turn on worship music. What's that help you remember? The present moment with God. How do you remember? You turn on music that helps you remember. You come to church. Church helps you remember the things of God. Listening to God's word, it helps you remember. As God said to them, I want you to remember forever. God says to us, you have to, as people, continue to remember forever and ever and ever. Secondly, I love how God says to Moses, you're going to take them on a roundabout way. It was easy. It was quick. The shortest way was through the Philistine town, and they could get to where they needed to go. But God knew that the shortest way for them, they were going to get into a fight. They were going to get in a battle. And it says that even though the Jewish people, when they left Egypt, man, they felt good. They felt pumped up. They had their Wheaties that morning. They had a V8 that morning. They were so feeling good. They had all of their vitamins. And it says they felt battle ready. But God knew that even though they felt battle ready, around the corner, if they were to get in a fight, what was going to happen? They probably were going to lose. We're going to lose. And so God said, I have to take you in a roundabout way because I need to protect you. I need to take you and make you go around this way. Most of us in here, like the Jewish people, we would prefer the shortcut. We would prefer to take the shortest route. In a day like today, when it's 100 degrees, I don't want to go the roundabout way. I don't want to go on a Sunday drive 25 miles an hour, just cruising when the sun is beating down. I'm getting, burned and just sitting in my car. I want to go the shortest way, the quickest way possible. In life, many situations, when we are building certain situations, sometimes in our job places, what do we tend to do as humans? We don't want to go the roundabout correct way. We would prefer to take shortcuts. But the shortcut in the situation, and it's funny, because many of us, when we do take a shortcut and we find ourselves in a tough situation, we say, what happened? How did I get here? Instead of listening to God and going the long, correct way around, we want to take the shortcut. We want to make our decisions go the quick way. So God says he led them in a roundabout way, because they weren't ready to face a battle. You know, as a believer, sometimes when you take a step back and remember the Old Testament, great symbolism of the Christian walk, the Egyptian people, the Jewish people, if you were to picture them, is kind of like newborn believers. They were saved when they left Egypt, and they were delivered from slavery, and they were beginning a new journey with God. God knew there were certain battles they weren't ready to face. This morning, every one of us, no matter where we are in our Christianity, there are certain things you're not ready to face. Sometimes, no matter how confident we are, yes, we're all strong. Yes, we're all handsome and beautiful. Yes, we're tough as nails. We can eat dirt and spit it out. All of those things. But you know, when it comes to spiritual matters, some of us this morning, there are certain things we are not ready to face, just like the Jewish people in here. God says, it's got to go this way. Got to go this way. And it always starts by what? Listening. Are you listening? Thirdly, in this story, it says that God led them as a symbol of his very own presence by a cloud by day and a fire by night. What better way? If I have to go on a journey, I don't have to leave breadcrumbs and Honey Nut Cheerios. I don't have to leave Fruit Loops along the way, Fruity Pebbles. It says that God led them cloud by day and a fire by night. So they knew exactly where they're going. They knew exactly what they're doing. And these two things, this cloud and this fire, were a very symbol of God's presence. He was leading and guiding them every single step along the way. Psalms 119, 105 says, your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. Where do I need to go? Open and read the Bible. What do I need to do? Open and read the Bible. Your word is a lamp to guide my feet. Your word is a lamp to guide my feet. Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. There's a path, and there are thousands of different paths and trails that we can all take every single day. But you know what? There's only one right path. There's only one right path that leads to blessing. There's only one right path that leads to the greatest adventure of your life. God's word is a lamp to guide my feet, a light for my path. How do I find the right way? How do I find my way, this right road? Open up and read the Bible. The more you read it, the more, you know what? You begin to see it. God led them with a pillar of cloud and a fire by night. John 1:1 says, in the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God. The Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him. Speaking of Jesus, nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and darkness can never, ever, ever extinguish it. Life for people sometimes feels like we're walking in the dark. Life for many people, mentally, there's many people today, more than ever, we know the deal with depression and anxiety and loneliness. And there's mental spaces that feel like I'm walking in the dark. I can't see where I'm going. Why? Because we've allowed too many situations to be absorbed into our life. Jesus said, if you accept my word, if you accept me, I'm the light that leads to life. There's no other place. No matter how good our candles are, no matter how good these light bulbs are, no matter how many good things we have in our house, the TVs and these blue lights which damage our beautiful eyeballs, no matter how many things we try to use as light, none of them, there is nothing that is going to get you from A to B correctly on the correct path except for Jesus Christ. He is the Word, and the Word is light. Where do I go? I read the Word. This is where I need to go, and I will find my right path. Pharaoh and his officials start to say to themselves as they left, they said, what have we done? Oh my goodness, what did we do? I cannot believe we just allowed these people to leave. And the statement that he was making was, Pharaoh never in any one moment did he stop and say, did I mistreat these people? The wrong and bad things that have already happened, it was my fault. Pharaoh, through the whole entire situation, from beginning to end, he never paused to say to himself, man, we lost animals. We lost life, vegetation, because I was stubborn. Not once did he stop himself and say, God, forgive me. Sometimes as people, we have the hardest time asking for forgiveness. Sometimes as people, we have the hardest time to say, I'm sorry. God, can you help me? God, can you forgive me? Pharaoh's heart, when he lost his oldest son, how many of us know tragedy will make us think for a minute? And it's sad when you see people who go through horrific things, and all of a sudden they're praying and talking to God, and then 3 weeks later, they've disappeared, and they're back on just a horrible road. Tragedy will awaken a desire for God for a minute, but if a heart is not willing to change, it's going to keep going back. It's going to keep going back. And so Pharaoh, he says, what have we done? We let our free labor, we let the free employees go. We didn't have to feed them. We didn't have to pay them. We had them in chains. We lost our easy, free labor. Speaking in his heart, I have not changed. I'm still mean. I'm still prideful. I'm still selfish. Unfortunately for Pharaoh, setting his final course for death because he wasn't willing to change. No matter how much death he saw with the plagues, there was one final death that was coming because he was not willing to change. Some people, no matter how many signs God gives to people, they don't listen and they're not willing to see until it's too late. Until it's too late. For the Jewish people, as they're sitting there and they hear the Pharaoh's coming, I love this. They say to Pharaoh, Moses, they say, listen, man, what did you do to us? See, God told them to camp in a certain spot, and where they camped, there was nowhere for them to go. And so as the enemy is coming in on them, they had nowhere to go. So they what? They felt helpless, and they're looking around, and they say, Moses, I can't believe this. I told you, it would have been better for us to stay in Egypt. It would have been better for us to stay there. We had graves already picked out in Egypt. It would have been much better if we would have just stayed home. But you led us here so that we would die in the wilderness. You led us here to die here. And you know what they said? We'd rather be a slave instead of feeling trapped and helpless in this situation. But you know what they were stating with their words? We would rather be a slave than to fight for freedom. We would rather be a slave than to fight for freedom. We would rather be a slave than to fight for freedom. There was 1 million people. There was only 600 men coming to fight them. 600. Now, 600 warriors, you know, these guys could have been ninjas, black belt, you know, to the 10th, the Egyptians, right? And so maybe the 1 million people, they were afraid because maybe the Egyptians, they were all buff. They looked like Hulk Hogan and Mr. T. I don't know. But for these 1 million people, when they saw 600 men coming towards them, not one of them, they didn't start thinking, hey, we got this. There's 1 million of us. Look, we don't care. You know, we can get something. We can find rocks and smash their heads in. They weren't thinking about fighting for freedom. What were they thinking? It's just easier to go back and be a slave than to fight for the freedom of this situation. Easier to go back and be a slave to someone or something than to fight for this freedom of the moment right here. It's easier to go back to this situation and become a slave to someone or something. I don't even care. Than to fight for my freedom, to fight for my family's freedom, to fight for my country's freedom. It's easier to go back and just give in. I'd rather be walking around with handcuffs and chains and shackles than to fight. What happens if I fight? Yeah, I could die. I could lose my family if we fight. But let's just go back. Let's just be a slave. It's just, Moses, what did you do? And so Moses responds to him and he says, listen, stand still. Stop it. Stop letting your mind go 3 million miles an hour. Stop. Listen. Stop. And this is another issue with humanity. We have a hard problem stopping in our brain at times. We have a hard time stopping in certain moments. And Moses says to him, stop, stand still, watch. Because you're about to see God fight for you. You're about to see God fight for you. You're about to see God fight for you. You know, sometimes in life, how many of us know people and we've seen them fight, whether it's on our behalf or fighting for other people? The armed services, is that not what that is? The armed services are men and women who are fighting for us, who fight for our country. Moses in this moment says, stop and just think about this for a second. God led you to a hopeless situation, to a helpless situation, but just stop. If God led you here, means God's got a plan. If God led you here, God's going to get you out of here. If God led you here, God's got a way. God's going to provide. God's going to make a way where there doesn't seem to be a way. As the people were crying out to Moses, what did Moses do? It says he cried out to God. As people were crying out to Moses, Moses is going, God speaking to Moses. Moses is speaking to the Jewish people. The Jewish people are crying, and they're crying back to Moses, and they're complaining, and they're whining. So then Moses, what does he do? He's got to go back to God, and he's like, hey, look at these people. So what does God say to Moses? Stop your crying and get moving. Stop your whining and get moving. And I wonder how many people today, maybe that's a word that we just need to remind ourselves. Stop whining, stop complaining, and get to work. Stop whining, stop complaining, and get to work. God was telling them, here is the plan. This is what we're going to do. Now, you got to remember and understand the situation. How many people had ever walked up to a lake? Guy holds up a stick. All of a sudden, the waters get parted. The wind is blowing so that the ground becomes dry. And then a million people walk through. Who in their mind would ever imagine at this point, thousands of years ago, that God or anybody would be a part of something like this? Crazy moment and crazy situation. So as they're backed into a corner, God, Moses, the Red Sea gets parted. It says that God separates them with a cloud. God opened a path. And even as God opened the path and they start walking around, it says that God started to twist the wheels of the chariots. And for these people here, this is one of the very first times they get to see God is doing something that I myself was afraid to do. God is handling a situation that I was afraid to handle on my own. No matter how tough, no matter how bold, no matter how strong they thought they were, in this moment, this is the first time where they're saying, look what God's doing. These guys are freaking out. Their wheels are getting twisted up and they're breaking and they're falling off because God was fighting for them. God was fighting for them. And as soon as they get to the other side, it says that all the water returned and every single one of those men died. 600 men. Not willing to repent. What does repent mean? Repent means that you turn from a thought, that you turn from sin, wrong action. Repent means that you're turning from a direction you were heading, and you go the other way. Pharaoh was not willing to repent. He wanted to manipulate and control the Jewish people, and he was never willing to admit he was wrong. And because he was never willing to admit he was wrong, so many people paid for it in his life. He never said sorry. He never asked God to forgive him. He was stubborn. But let's be honest. He was stubborn, and we're stubborn too. All of us in here, we all have a little bit of stubbornness. And there's always certain things that we can be stubborn about, right? And it's always easier to point out someone else's stubbornness than to see our own. But Moses, unfortunately, as he was leading these people, and it says they stand there, and what were they seeing? All these dead bodies washed up on the shore. It's a scary movie, all these dead bodies. Gross. Disgusting. But it reminded them, man, if we follow God, look what God did for us. Look what God did for us. Look what happened to them. They could have had a choice. right? They could have decided to follow God, and so they saw the mighty hand of God. And so this morning, as we just take this story, as we take the text, what are the things to walk away with? And the number one is, dun-da-da-dun, battle ready. To be battle ready. The Jewish people, they had an illusion of being ready, but they were nowhere close to being ready. No matter how in their mind they thought they were ready for the fight, when the fight came, they wanted to run and hide. No matter how many of us Christians think, man, I'm ready to take on the devil. I'm ready to beat him up. I'm going to beat his cousin up. I'm going to beat his uncle up. I'm going to beat him up. I'm going to beat them up. Sister Mary, you know, I'm going to go after all these people. No matter how tough we think we are, just like the Jewish people, they were not battle ready. They had the illusion and the feeling of being battle ready, but they were not battle ready. Ephesians 6:10 says, a final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. This is number one thing. How do we become battle ready? How do as Christians we become tough and strong? It's not anything that we do. It's understanding all I need to do is trust in God and allow him to work through me. How do I become the toughest person in myself? How do I become the most boldest and courageous person in myself? How do I become the biggest help to my community? How do I do the greatest things in my town, in my time? How do I fulfill the purpose and the things that God has for me? We don't get stuck on who I used to be. We don't get stuck on who we are. We get stuck completely on God and allow God to do what God wants to do. Sometimes you just got to get out of the way. Sometimes we can get too big in our head where we think that needs to be me. Doesn't need to be me. Doesn't need to be me. I need to step out of the way so God can move through me, so that God gets the credit. There's so many people who do great things today because what? They want the credit. There are people who donate millions and thousands of dollars and they got to put their name on it. So why? So they can get the credit. They're not looking to get credit in heaven. They want to get credit here on earth. That's not how it works. If we want to be the best version of ourselves, to be the strongest version of ourselves, it's learning to be trust in the Lord and in his mighty power. Paul says, put on God's armor that you're able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. We don't fight against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you'll be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground. Put on the belt of truth. What are the things that I need in my life to make me the best version of me? I need truth. This is the belt of truth. The body armor of God's righteousness. Shoes, peace that comes from the good news to be fully prepared. In addition, hold up the shield of faith. I need truth. I need faith. I need truth. I need faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We live in a day, it's 2024. It's beautiful outside. There's so many great things happening. People getting shot at. Wars going on. Craziness everywhere. But you know what the great thing is? It's only going to get worse. You know what the great thing is? It's only going to get worse. And no matter where we go, if we were to leave the country, it's going to get worse there too. If you were to leave the state, it's going to get worse there too. Why? Because it's been prophesied from a long time ago. At the end of the world, things are just going to happen. And if things are just going to happen, what do we do? Do we just stand by and let bad things happen? Do we just stand there and do nothing? Jesus said, if you're not for me, if you don't want to work with me, then you work against me. Jesus said, if you're not working with me, if you're not working with me, if you're not working with me, if you're not helping me, if you're not speaking about me, if you're not speaking the truth, speaking about faith, speaking about love, if you're not working with me, Jesus said, it's like you're working against me. What God needs us to do in 2024? What does God need me to do in this moment? He needs me to fight. He needs me to stand up and to be the beacon of light. God's called me in this moment to be strong. But it's not something that I have to do on my own. He promised his Holy Spirit. And his Holy Spirit will give us the words to say. The Holy Spirit will give us the power that we need. If you think about sports for a second, you have people who play and you have people who watch. people who play, and people who watch. And if we were to ask ourselves, what would I rather do? Would I rather play or would I rather watch? I'd rather play, right? That's where the action is. Think about the world and watching sports. We have baseball. There's soccer. There's golf. Football starting up again here soon. People who watch sports, what do marketers do during this time for people who watch sports? They are making billions to target, to market. This is what you need to eat. This is what you need to drink when you're watching the game. What is the devil doing right now? Don't be involved in the game. Just sit back and watch. He wants to feed believers a bunch of crap. He wants to feed believers. Just get fat and sassy and just get sit back and watch the show. God didn't make us to sit back and watch the show. He's made us to be a part of the show, to fight. And this is the day that we live in. It is only going to get even better to be battle ready. God help us to be battle ready for whatever happens in our day, in our town, in our community. God help me, help us to be battle ready for ourselves, for our families, for our kids, for our grandkids. God help us to be battle ready, to be strong and courageous. Help us to be battle ready, to be spiritually strong every single day. You know, for the Jewish people in this story, they were led to a place of feeling trapped and feeling helpless. And why were they led to that place? Because God was teaching them to trust in Him and not in themselves. They were led to a place where they couldn't see, there's no way out. I have no way out of here. And there's many of us in many situations, we are in the same exact boat. In could be financial situations, could be health situations, could be work situations. I don't see a way out. God leads us to places where we don't see a way out. God leads us to places where it's a feeling of being hopeless and helpless, where I don't know where to go and I don't know what to do anymore. Because in those situations, we have two options. If I can't see my way, if I don't know where to go, if I don't know what to do, God, I'm either going to trust in you or I'm going to run. God, I'm going to trust in you or I'm going to run. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Don't depend on your own understanding. Seek God and His will in all that you do, and God will show you which path to take. Trust in the Lord. God led them to a helpless situation to learn to trust in Him. He led them to the place of helplessness, trapped, so that He could help them, so that He could show them. Thirdly, in this story, to think about what it means to have an unsurrendered heart. And this is a really, really big one. The Jewish people in the story stated, I'd rather go back to slavery and sin because it seems like my old life would be easier than this new life that God's given me. I want to go back to slavery and sin because it seems like my old life is easier than this new life. Many choose the easy life of slavery instead of the risk of faith. Many choose the life, easy life of slavery instead of the risk of faith. It takes a risk. It's a risk to stand up. I believe in God. What God? The one in the Bible. It takes a risk. It takes maybe being made fun of and ridiculed and getting in an argument to say, I'm going to believe in God. I'm going to stand for believing in God. I'm going to stand for believing in the truth. It takes the risk of faith to see greater things. It takes the risk. Many of us took that risk when we asked a guy or girl out because we could have been rejected. In my job, I have to open new customers all the time, or I could lose my job. I get rejected all the time. I get threatened and yelled at. It's so much fun. But when it comes to Christians and spirituality, sometimes we're afraid for the risk of the moment. They were afraid of the risk of the moment. Sometimes the thought of danger, it just becomes too big in our head. What would people say? What would people think? If I tell people I have to go to church, what are they going to say about me? If I tell people I believe in Jesus and He's my Savior, man, what are people going to say about me? It's easier to live the life like the Jewish people stated. It's easier to live that life of slavery than to live for the risk of faith. There's a greater risk in living a life of faith. Lastly, don't give up. Many of us, it's easy when it's hard and it's difficult to give up. It is so easy. How many of us have ever given up on building projects? How many of us have ever given up on jobs? How many of us have ever given up on people? Because it just becomes too tough. Galatians 6:7 says, don't be misled. You'll never mock the justice of God. You always harvest what you plant. Those who live to satisfy themselves, they're going to get death and decay. Those who live to the Spirit will reap everlasting life from the Spirit. Never get tired of doing what is good. At the right time, you will reap a harvest of blessing if you don't give up. Whenever you have the opportunity, do good for everyone. So I'm listening to Air One the other day, 90.1. And the host in the morning, his husband and wife, they're talking about, interviewing a Christian artist. And this Christian artist said that he decided that he was going to turn in his smartphone for a dumb phone, just getting a smartphone for a flip phone, because the smartphone had just become too time consuming in life. And he found that the 8 months of giving up his smartphone to just having a flip phone, he was involved in more conversations. He was asking more questions. He was listening better. He was thinking better. And I wonder this morning how many of us, we get so wrapped up and things going on in life that we're not planting enough seeds in each other. How many of us, we get so caught up in people, we read about people's stories, we read about good things and bad things that are happening in our devices, and we turn on the news about the good things and the bad things, and we see things that we're reading on our phones and we're going through, but I wonder how much are we honestly really missing? We think we're being a part and we're learning, but are we really? Are we planting enough into each other? Or are we just too busy? Because I think these smart devices make us really busy in our head. Really busy. Got to put my calendar in here. Got to put all the things I got to do and all the things I got to get done. Paul says, we're never going to mock the justice of God. If you do good, you're going to reap a harvest of blessing. If you don't, you're going to reap decay and death. Simple. And the question this morning, are we giving up on things too easily? When life becomes hard and helpless and tragic, do we give up just a little too easy? We started with a theme in 2024, and it was fighting the good fight. And when Paul says to Timothy in 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight for the true faith, hold tight to eternal life to which God has called you, which we've declared so well before so many witnesses. Fight the good fight, fight the good fight, fight the good fight for the true faith. Hold tightly to eternal life to which God has called you. He wasn't just talking about fighting to be a Christian. He wasn't just talking about fighting for what's right. What Paul was saying to Timothy, you have to go out and fight for all that God has for you. Similarly, like in the Old Testament, God leads the Jewish people out of Egypt. He leads them into the wilderness. They get to the wilderness, and they're going to a place. You know what it's called? It's called the Promised Land. But when they get to the Promised Land, you know what's in the Promised Land? Other people. You know what they have to do when they get there? They got to fight to get out the tenants that are in their own home. Everything that God has for you, it comes at a price, and it comes at a fight. Everything good, powerful, great, it comes at a fight, and it comes at a cost. And some of us, we sit back and say, I just don't feel like fighting anymore. I don't have the strength to fight anymore. You know what? That's a good spot. Because what did God say through Moses? I'm going to fight for you. I'm going to fight for you. If we're tired from the fight, you know what that means? We're trying to do too much on our own and not allow the Holy Spirit to do what He wants to do. If we're tired from the fight, if we're tired from the battle, it's because we're not allowing Him to do what He wants to do. Fight the good fight. Fight the good fight. God this morning, God this year, He has something special for every one of us. As God gave the Promised Land to the Jewish people, God has a place of promise waiting for us. That doesn't mean, okay, I'm going to travel 3,000 million miles away from here and I'm going to find tropical paradise and I'm going to hide from humanity for the rest of my life. No, that's not what finding the place of promise is. There is a spiritual blessing in place, a promise for every one of us that God wants to lead us to. But it takes fighting the good fight. What are you willing to fight for this morning? Do you have the fight in you to continue to fight for all that God has for you, all that God has for us, all that God has for our community? Do we have the fight in us? 1 Corinthians 9:24, Paul says it a different way. Don't we realize in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? Run to win. If I'm going to be in a race, I'm running to win. If I'm going to live life, I'm living to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away. But we do this for an eternal prize. I run with purpose in every step. I'm not just shadow boxing. I don't throw punches at nothing. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I might be disqualified. Fighting the good fight. God in the story today, he's prepared a way. He's opened up the Red Sea. God is making a way where it doesn't seem like there's any way possible. God is moving and God is doing things in the background that we can't see, that we can't even understand, because God is big and powerful. God is so much bigger and more powerful than any one of us. And so God is doing so many things in the background. God's ways, they're higher than my ways. His thoughts are bigger and wider than my thoughts. God is opening an opening in the Red Sea. God's parting away. And so wherever we are this morning, to understand, whatever situation I'm going through today, God will always make a way. No matter what I'm thinking, no matter what I'm feeling, as he parted the Red Sea for them, God will make a way for me. As God made a way for them, God will make a way for me. As God had a plan for them, God has a plan for me. God had a plan for them, God has a plan for me. What is he asking me to do? Just stand and watch and be ready to fight. Because when the fight comes, everything good in life is promised. We have to fight for. And I wonder this morning, what's God asking you to fight for? I wonder what God's asking you to run from. I wonder what part of the Red Sea God is asking you to be a part of, to watch, to stand the sea being parted, to walk through on the dry ground, to see water on the sides, to get to the other side and then see the water be filled in and dead bodies everywhere. What part of our fight, what part of our run are we a part of this morning? What is the one thing? What is the one thing God's just trying to say to you this morning? Let's pray.